All right, welcome to the KBJ After the Show podcast.
Kevin's eyes look insane, but he's got new hair. Virginia is a witch, and she farts in her chair. Jason is a spaz who's got an old man's ass. Welcome to the After the Show podcast.
And welcome to Tuesday's KBJ After the Show podcast. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to it.
Hello, Cheryl.
Hello, Mel.
Yeah, here we are. Another day. Good to see y'all. Mm-hmm. Got some emails to jump right into. This one about Schitt's Creek. It says, let me tell you about Schitt's Creek because Kevin is an emotionless robot.
Oh, boy.
And it says, okay, so Kevin is not doing the show justice. The show is very character-driven, and it's all about character development. I know Kevin is a robot, so maybe that's why he's not the best spokesperson for this wonderful show. Virginia should absolutely check it out. There's fashion, makeup, wigs, and sarcasm. It's also safe to watch with kids, minus a few fucks. Okay, well, there's that.
My kids dropped those.
Great lessons for them about love, family, and kindness. I also think Jay Bird would like it because he's more in touch with his emotional side. Love you for it, Bird, LOL. And Schitt's Creek is similar to The Office, where fans watch it over and over again and catch something new every time. There's Easter eggs as the season goes by and ongoing jokes that you might miss the first time. There's smart comedy, and they never go after low-hanging fruit, Jay Bird. I love Gilmore Girls, too, and this show has replaced it as my new favorite. Please watch it.
Huh.
It takes some people a few episodes to really get into it, but I promise it's worth it. Episodes are 22 minutes long, so it's not that huge of a time commitment.
Okay, you just sold it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think you did a good job the other day. I didn't think you were that dicky about it.
I don't know. I didn't apparently sell it well enough.
I thought you really praised it.
Yes, apparently not that good enough. It was too emotionless.
You made me want to see it. You've been emotionless plenty of times
sure.
in your life.
Yeah.
I did not think
not
that was...
Not this time, maybe. Yes. Okay, I thought it was an odd critique, but apparently still stiff.
Either way, I will check it out.
Look, mm-hmm. I'm just happy they're not critiquing me. They're critiquing you.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
Don't worry, you're going to get yours.
Mm-hmm. Just to let you know, too, watching it, that was the one challenge for me. In fact, it was quite a surprise for me. I did not realize because I had watched it originally on Netflix. And then I'm like, when's this final season going to drop? And I finally found out that it was actually airing on TV, and I was able to record it there. But to make it easy for you, Comedy Central is going to air all six seasons of Schitt's Creek beginning on October 2nd. And then the final season will finally be heading over to Netflix as well.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
So that starts on October 7th. So... yeah, Netflix already carries the first five seasons. So starting on October 7th, you'll be able to get them all in one convenient place. You can either go to Comedy Central October 2nd or all of it you could binge through starting October 7th on Netflix.
Thank
Just
you.
Just don't have Kevin try to sell it. Because
yeah, I'm not going to try to sell it because I'm not going to be able to. Motionless robots can't do that. Another suggestion here. Denise wanted to let Jaber know the same producers that created the show that Jaber was on called Paranormal Caught on Camera, they've got a new show called Doomsday Caught on Camera, and it's pretty amazing. You should check it out on Saint Channel.
I love all that shit. I love catching, you know, the one I love to watch is the craziest Mother Nature moments ever caught on video. Mm-hmm. It's really, really, really fun to watch. That's where I saw that meteorite come down in Russia. The guy's got his dashboard cam, and it just looks like the end of the world.
That
it's
leveled
crazy.
That forest.
Do you know if anyone died in that?
I don't remember the death on that, but I just remember seeing the forest. I don't know how somebody didn't. I mean, it's just crazy.
If you're driving and you see that, I mean, it was so up close and personal.
You think it's the end of the world.
I don't know how you don't.
Yeah, I would probably be like, oh, this is it. I'm coming, Lord. Got Derek sent this email about Weird and Whatever. He said, are you familiar with David Gore? He's a serial killer in the early 80s in Vero Beach. I believe he killed 7 women. He was a grove manager who had a trailer that he lived in on a citrus grove, and he buried some bodies there.
Oh, boy.
He was eventually caught and then executed in 2012. Evidently, while he was still alive, he had a pen pal. And through letters to this pen pal, he said that his kill number was more like 20 women and that there were more bodies buried on the same property. And he sent maps as well. Now this pen pal has a podcast and maybe just looking for attention, but it's called Murder Phone. Don't answer that one.
Just so this is what he looks like for all you people.
David Gore.
Of course, it's black and white. He looks like what you would expect for a serial killer.
I mean, does he not look like your textbook?
Custom made everything you could have to do.
Serial killer?
I mean, we could try to recreate. Yeah. How
yeah, they're what all, would you? They're all not cute white guys.
It could be the BTK. I mean, it's the same look.
Yeah.
They're all not cute white guys. Now you see like how the FBI is able to profile because that, I mean, there is a serial killer look.
There is a serial killer look. I mean, mustache alone kind of makes you suspect.
Especially in that era. That was seemed like a big serial killer era.
Well, you know, here's the thing about the serial killers. They all pretty much claim to kill more than what they... Are they telling the truth? I don't know. Do I feel like there's some serial killers out there that have a lot of victims that haven't been caught yet? Yeah, I do.
Think about all the people that go missing. And we never know what happened to all those missing people.
But, you know, even with a Ted Bundy was trying to save his ass from being fried. And he was trying to get clemency. And by doing that, he was trying to tell the cops and everybody there, I've killed 100 people. I think he's been accredited to like 23 or something. I forget the number. But Ted Bundy says he killed over 100 women. And he was going to, for his, you know, in exchange of his life being saved, he was going to let the police know where these bodies were at. And at that point, he had fucked with the police so much, they were
like, no.
Ted, you're going to die.
So I guess, you know, at the point where you're already convicted for murder and you know you're going to go to the chair or whatever, then, I mean, why not? Well, why try to inflate that number?
Just like you have rivalries in sports. They have rivalries with serial killers. The Green River Killer and Ted Bundy were killing at the same time in the same killing ground. And Bundy looked at the Green River Killer. He's like, dude, you kill hookers. I kill things that are not easy to kill. You kill hookers, easy. Get them in the car. And that was his outlook on the Green River. He looked down on the Green River Killer.
Dang.
Because, you know, Green River Killer would get the prostitutes and then go in the car real easy with them.
Hmm.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
Well,
is it crazy that I know so much? I always feel like
that's kind of crazy, too.
When I go on too long.
There's a lot of passion.
Stop spreading that rumor that I love murder, by the way.
Derek went on to say, he said, fast forward to now, my company now owns that citrus grove. And this past week, we got a call from local law enforcement that they need to go out there and search for more bodies.
Damn.
They did a preliminary search, but found nothing. But over the years, there has been concrete poured in certain areas that Gore claims the bodies are buried. It sounds like right now they plan on doing some more interrogation with the podcast host before they continue the search at the Grove property. It might be nothing, but I thought it was a crazy story you might enjoy. I think now a lot of times they use ground penetrating radar and they can see, that's how they find a lot of graves. Like they will go to old cemeteries and the such, and they can kind of tell because, you know, America's been around long enough now that a lot of old tombstones have just kind of fallen apart. So if you go to some of these old cemeteries, they don't really know where there are bodies and there are not.
We're going to cover 2 South Florida cold cases tomorrow on the Weird and Whatever podcast.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Maurice Jefferson case and the Rachel Hurley case. We've talked about them before, but those are two that always stuck with me that I want to just keep putting them in the media.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be talked about because they're unsolved.
Yeah, I know that there was one that you had mentioned to me, and, you know, with DNA, a lot of these cold cases, they're...
Another one got brought down because of that DNA genealogy stuff.
Oh, who?
It was some murderer from, I think, the 70s.
Why was serial killing so big then? Because when's the last time You've had a prolific serial killer that we've known about that really made the news the way that it did in the 70s.
I mean, if you look, Kev, there'll be people pulled up.
Because when I watched Zodiac, that's what made me think of it, because it was all over the news. They had the Zodiac killer calling into the TV show, and it was everywhere. I'm like, I don't recall anything like that happening.
There are still cases right now that there are serial killer cases throughout the country, and they might, the killer might not be active right now, and that's why you haven't heard of it. Mm-hmm. But there was one, I believe, up in Jersey that was going on. That
seems like a murderous state.
There's murders in every state, man. Florida being one of them.
Do we have one right now?
You have the Long Island serial killer from 2011.
Okay.
Let me see here. There's a list.
These are active serial killers?
Yeah, these are killers that have been picked up in the 2000s that were serial killers.
Okay.
You know, you have the Green or the Golden State killer that was caught.
Okay. When was he caught?
He was caught a couple years ago, but he was very prolific. He was the dude that he started off with rape, and then he graduated to murder. That's the guy, you know, he plays like he's all sick in court.
Yeah, DNA brought him down.
DNA brought him down. But to your point, he hadn't killed in a while, at least so you think.
Well, I think a lot of them get to a point where they realize physically you're not as strong as you were in your 20s and 30s. Now you're in your 40s or 50s or 60s, and you get hurt trying to commit your crimes. And I think, you know, people get old, just like you get off your game. Yeah.
BTK wasn't young, though.
You're right.
I think some of them, too. I think testosterone plays a part. I think, you know, because testosterone typically, I mean, you look at the guys that are roided out and they get aggressive. And testosterone usually is the hormone that's pushing that. As guys get older, a lot of guys are losing testosterone. And that's why old guys just get mellow.
Can the serial killers lose it quicker?
Someone in the chat room was talking about with the Ted Bundy and the Green River Killer. Did they compare notes? They caught Ted Bundy first, and then they went to Ted Bundy, and Ted Bundy helped get the Green River Killer. He helped put a whole profile with what the Green River Killer was.
Crazy.
Green River Girl's like, hey, dude, hashtag be cool.
Yeah. But, you know,
we were in this together.
You always wonder if they cross paths. You know, did they kill on the same weekend?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
That is.
You take Tuesday, I'll take Thursday. The one that you told me about was Wendy Jerome. This happened in Rochester, New York. She went to deliver a birthday card to a friend who lived nearby. This was about 7 p.m. Thanksgiving in 1984. She was 14 at the time, had to be home by 8 o'clock, and when she didn't return home, her parents became frantic. 3 hours later, they found her body in an alcove behind a school near her home, and she had been beaten to death. And they just found, like, the killer using familial DNA.
Who was it?
Timothy L. Williams at his home in Melbourne, Florida. They got him on Wednesday last week and charged him with murdering Wendy Jerome.
That guy was living his life.
In Florida.
In Florida.
In Melbourne, yeah.
Look at that shit.
That's crazy. I wonder, because when I was growing up, and this is like so long ago that I don't even know if I remember all the details, but there was a neighborhood kid that was snatched, and they found the kid dead behind the elementary school like a day later. And I just, you made me just think of that just now. I wonder if they ever figured out.
It's weird.
Who did it?
Because there's cases I look up that I know for a fact happened in Lake Park or Palm Beach Gardens back in the 80s and 90s. And you try, I mean, everything's online these days, and you can't find a single fact, a news article, nothing about it.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look it up.
Got an email here, a challenge for Jaybird. It said, in the midst of what you guys were talking about yesterday with Mike Tyson fighting Roy Jones Jr. in the exhibition match, I was wondering, Jaybird, since you love doing different all types of challenges, would you fight Mike Tyson for a winning lottery ticket of $1 million? The terms are 54-year-old Mike, 2 full rounds, and no head protection.
Just with the gloves?
Yeah.
Do I do it for $1 million?
Yeah.
Shit, yeah.
$1 million? Yeah, that's pretty good.
Is that the final offer?
I'd just let him knock me out. I'd take a couple punches and then boom. I wouldn't last 2 rounds with Mike Tyson the way he
I'd take a chance. I would hope he'd hit me once and I'd be okay.
I'd take a hit and go down. I'd be like, yeah, I'm good.
You can't what are the stipulations? You can't take a dive. If you were able to get back up, you got to.
I'm not really taking a dive. The bitch hurt me.
Well, I think there's a good chance he's going to knock you out.
Like, no, I legitimately hurt. I'm down for good reason.
Okay, if you're legit hurt, you stay down. But if you can get up, you have to get up.
Yeah, I probably can't get up. I think I'm good.
Well, I think I'd rather get hit in the face than the stomach. I just feel like
your kidney.
Well, just everything. Have you ever been fully hit in your stomach? I mean, punched in your stomach. You lose your wind. You think you're going to piss blood for 7 years. It's terrible. I've taken one to the face. I've taken one to the stomach. I'd take one to the face.
Gladly.
I welcome it.
I'd rather take one to the face. What about you, Kev?
I think I'd probably take a body blow. I think that'd be better. Because, yeah, when you get hit in the head, you get your bell rung like that, it might leave some permanent damage. It's easier.
Kevin's fucking ripped on his belly area.
Yeah, my head's not so solid. Yeah, that's the way I would do it.
You've been doing crunches?
I just started doing a few yesterday. Yeah, I mean, I really didn't do anything before yesterday, just a few mild things here and there. And yesterday wasn't impressive because I realized this bitch out of shape. But yeah, I got going every day now that I got, you know, everybody's gone. I got a little bit of quiet time. I'm at home alone and, all that kind of good stuff.
Zen Kev is back.
Yeah. It's kind of nice. Well, it was just with everybody there before. Yeah. It was just, you know, too awkward or weird and I didn't really have a place to do it. So now, yeah, I gave it a shot. It's going to take a while to ramp back up, but I'll get there.
Are most parents that way or they just... They love their kids, obviously, but you also kind of want your kids to scram, shoo, get the fuck out.
I think parenting is about balance. And if you don't have a little me time and you're just always frazzled because you've always, always, always got the responsibility and no help, I think you can get burnt out and get a short fuse.
I think it probably depends on the kid, too. If you have a little kid that's real, just he loves up on his mama and doesn't want to leave. And it's just very, you know.
If he's sweet, you don't mind it.
Yeah.
But if he's a hellion.
You need a break.
Then you do need a break.
Does Rocco go through moments where he's like, Mom, I want to snuggle and be a sweet?
Absolutely. He's super manipulative. He knows how to work you and tell you you look so pretty.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Look at that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, this kid's going to be awful. Mm.
Yeah.
I think everybody wants and needs a little alone time here and there. It's just good. You got to get your thoughts.
It's balance. Yeah. You know, I think especially for somebody like Kevin, who grew up an only child, he's not used to having a bunch of people in his space moving his stuff. Mm. And that's hard. If you had siblings growing up, then I think you can do it a little bit better. But I think about Kevin sometimes in his house with all these people moving his stuff.
Well, I can see a difference. I have friends that were raised by themselves, just their parents and the kid, or brother and sister were always around. The personalities are very much different.
It does. It just trains you to have to deal with situations differently.
Yeah, absolutely. Just used to it or not. The Mike Tyson thing, we played a little bit of that clip. He had been on Joe Rogan's podcast and was talking about, I think, like when he hurts people, he gets erections.
The boner.
Yeah.
The fight boner.
What do you call him? His twinkle or something like that is what it is. Yeah, that's just kind of weird. But Brendan sent this in and said, I'm a compounding pharmacist and talking a little bit about the doggy Viagra. Make non-commercial drugs. I work at a pet pharmacy. Viagra suspension is common for blood pressure. Just so you know, Viagra was developed for blood pressure, which the side effect of a boner, which has to do with the opening of the blood flow, turn this blood pressure medicine into ED med. So yes, literally dog Viagra is for dog blood pressure.
Huh.
So there you go. I think you're asking about that maybe.
If you weren't getting any bone pieces, if you woke up and you're like, oh, man, it's only half, would you take ED medicine even though you don't have that much sex?
Why would I take it?
I don't know, just to feel like your boners are, you know, working good.
So I can walk around now that everybody's gone, walk around the house with a big old heart on?
I don't know. I don't know if you were getting half boners and you couldn't get a full boner. Wouldn't that kind of make you down?
Yeah, while everybody's gone, I'm going to enjoy a 4-hour erection.
That's a lot.
Okay, so if you lose your boner, you're not that down about it.
Well, I mean, if I actually have some place to put it, it's nice to have it. But if it's,
okay, I'm just look, I'm just seeing what goes on behind those eyes.
If I'm strutting around the house with a.
You don't take it hard if you start losing your boner. Okay.
Take it hard? No.
Nobody's taking it hard if that boner leaves. Yeah.
Maybe that's a single man's game. I think if Panda would be down and out if he couldn't get a full boner.
Yeah, he would be devastated.
He'd be on pills. There's no way he wouldn't, right?
He would do everything pharmaceutically possible to keep that thing like a log.
Exactly. Yeah, I guess you're right. Some if you're not using it, I don't know if you would care. But I just wondered the fact
that. Yeah, what am I do, like hang laundry on it?
But I mean, I just wonder just the fact that you're losing, you know, something that was always strong and you know, full. Now it's down and out.
Yeah.
Does that bother you?
I'm getting used to it. There's a lot of things that used to be strong and full that.
You're well down and out.
Yeah, just down and out, Kev. That's it. Here's another little interesting fact. Somebody sent Brittany said, your poo is green because you ate something blue. Okay. We're talking about green poo earlier on the show.
Because you ate something blue.
I thought it was something to do with your iron.
Somebody else had said that it does have something to do with the amount, I believe it's kind of like your bile maybe that you have in your gut. Things that are going on there, because I believe that comes out to green. And so that, it can be multiple factors, but exactly. That could be one of them as well.
Yeah, there's. I mean, I think there's one color on that chart I was telling you about where you're like, oh, shit, I better go to the doctor.
I need the chart.
I mean, I think I'm surprised you don't know about this.
Shouldn't we all have this chart hanging in the bathroom by the commode?
Yeah, Google it, and you're off time, or I'll send you a link. No, it's not on Netflix.
The turd color chart.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Match the color of your turd to your mood.
It's supposed to show you where your health is at.
Huh.
How the fuck do I know about this and you don't?
I didn't think that was health related. I thought like Kevin that it was like if I ate something with some dye.
It can be. It can absolutely be that too. To Kevin's point, multiple factors.
Yeah, I think you can. I mean, that's why with your dog, you're always taking a stool sample in there. I think that's what they like. You can really tell a lot about somebody's health.
Big time.
By what's coming out of their butt.
I think Babs in the chat room is right. I think white, if you're having white poop, it's not good.
No, it doesn't sound like it'd be good.
Does that sound weird?
What if you've eaten a lot of chalk?
Well, that's probably not good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got an email here from Patty. Yesterday, I was talking about that gold-plated Lamborghini that I saw driving over the bridge to Palm Beach.
Yes.
I was like, dang, look at that thing. She said, just so you know, the gold-plated Lamborghini you saw is not $350,000 or $450,000. It is a $550,000, and it is gold-plated, an eighth of a scale model carved out of a solid piece of real gold. It actually sold for $7.5 million. $650,000 of that went to charity. I had to know for myself. You guys make me laugh daily. Patty had said that. Somebody else had said, oh, it wasn't gold-plated. It was a gold wrap or something like that. And I don't know. I mean, it looked like it was a bar of gold. And it was a Lamborghini. I'm like, holy crap. Boy, that's a way to get attention, huh? They're just trying to say, I got some money, bitches.
It's a Lambo. It's a fucking Lambo.
Yeah.
I heard your boy talking about a Lambo. The two idiot brothers.
Jake Paul,
yeah. Oh, he's talking about the fucking Lambo, bro. Fucking Lambo.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the worst.
Well, I had seen something interesting about it today, too, that Ferrari... you know, which is an Italian sports car. And back in the day, apparently Ferrari had a beef with this guy that had a tractor company. And he's like going, you could not drive or handle one of my cars, stick to your tractor. And that guy's like, oh yeah, fuck you. He made his own car. That car became a Lamborghini. That was the tractor maker's name. That's why you have Lamborghinis, is because Ferrari taunted him. He actually made tractors, Lamborghini tractors. And the guy said, you couldn't handle one of my Ferraris. And he's like, all right, I'll build my own damn car. And so that's how you have Lamborghini.
Fascinating.
You're teaching us shit left and right.
Look at that, huh? Look at that. Boom, dropping some knowledge on you. Let me see here, Kara with a little conversation starter. She says, I heard a really great conversation piece. I thought I'd present it to KBJ. It's your very last day in South Florida. You planned the last three restaurants you would go to for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and what you would order at each. No COVID in this scenario, of course. I look forward to hearing your answers. Wow. Okay. Let me think.
And this is all local, right?
Yeah, I guess so. It's stuff you would go to. And I'm trying to think. You know, breakfast places, you know, my wife and I, before the pandemic, we would every Saturday morning, we go to First Watch. It was kind of our little thing. And I love that. But that's, you know, kind of a chain that you can get those a lot of different places. So I feel bad at saying First Watch. My wife also likes Nick's Diner. That is totally local.
I like that place. They make a good grilled cheese.
Yeah, I think there's a Juno Beach Cafe is another great breakfast spot.
The other place I like, it's been around for Howley's.
Yeah, Howley's,
yes.
Yeah.
We have gone to, my son would play baseball there at Phipps Park, and we would run across the street, get breakfast at Howley's, and you can also get like mimosas in the morning too.
I'll do Howley's for breakfast. We'll go to Bud's Chicken and Seafood for lunch, then we're gonna top it off at Camille's for dinner. There's my three.
That's your three. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, if we're keeping it local.
Yeah. Right? Last three restaurants that you would go to. Gosh, there's so many that I love.
Yeah,
that
it's hard to pick.
That is a tough
one. For some of us, I guess.
There you go. You got yours. Do you often go kind of to the same ones over and over again?
I really do. Yeah. I'm kind of that way with a lot of the things that I like of the world. Music,
yeah.
Food. I if I find something I love, I'm very, very supportive to it.
I think for me, it's just that I'm always rotating. You know, we kind of get on to a little bit of a kick and then we kind of go there for a while and then we, you know, like, oh, let's go, you know, try something else out.
I'm burned out right now. It's the same West Palm Beach restaurants that I've had for 4 or 5 years. And
yeah.
Mama wants something new.
Got to find something new. Huh?
Yeah. That's the cool thing about moving to a different neighborhood, different delivery, different.
Yeah.
I'm moving the area that I want to move to. Part of the reason for the move is because a couple of restaurants are very close to it.
You want
to
expose yourself to new.
Yes, and a couple of my most favorite restaurants are going to be, a couple of my favorite restaurants are in Lake Park and in Gardens. That's the area.
Okay. A couple of places I like the ceviche. I go to Cholo Soy in West Palm. Go to Dr. Limon down on Clematis Street. Those are two places that I would really probably factor in. We like those. We also go to a Mexican place. What's it called? Is it Montezuma's maybe is the place?
Where is this?
That's on Dixie. Just kind of a regular little place.
It's good. You vouch?
Yeah, I like it. And, you know, we got into it because my friend that is from, he's Mexican. His mom lives in Mexico City and he's legit. He's like, this is the place. And so we go there and because of him. And it is pretty solid, he and his wife.
What fancy bullshit are you going to say?
Well, I start with brunch at the Breakers.
I mean, here we go.
I insist on doing the Circle Dining Room with bottomless mimosas.
Question. This buffet you speak of, do you get everything on the buffet for this? I mean, what exactly is on this the breakfast?
Are you setting me up for a snore?
No, not for food. I would never do that. That's bullshit. That would be disrespectful.
There's everything.
Everything?
Everything, Bird. There's all your traditional breakfast stuff is there. Plus, they've got fish dishes, chicken dishes, beef dishes, salads, soups.
At any point.
A cold bar with sushi, lobster. They've got a caviar bar. They've got a dessert bar that, seriously, you would slap a relative if you saw it.
Do you feel that that's true, Fat Kevin? Or do you feel the Breakers might have too fancy of desserts for the Bird?
I think you'd like them.
You would love it.
Yeah, I think you
There's
would like
so
them.
So much diversity. There's cakes, there's custards, there's petits, there's everything, ice creams, there's a waffle bar.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right.
Yeah, I think you would like it. It is pretty amazing.
It's pretty amazing.
Let's go.
Trust me, I would not bullshit you.
Okay.
Brunch should be taken very seriously in my book, and I've never seen anybody do it like the Breakers.
Better than Gaylord Palms.
For me, yes. Gaylord Palms didn't have a caviar bar.
But it had a spaghetti bar. It had a spaghetti bar.
Yeah.
I know, but I didn't eat the spaghetti bar.
I wouldn't fucking eat caviar.
Some of the places that people are throwing out, Kelly said Blue Heaven and Key West for breakfast. I have been there, but I haven't been there for breakfast. It's kind of like a house. You eat outside and you got chickens walking around, all that stuff.
Oh, I love that.
I think I've been there for dinner. It is fantastic. Said Joe's Stone Crabs in Miami for lunch. Okay, can't argue with that. Okeechobee Steakhouse for dinner. Okeechobee Steakhouse, if you go to the bar, they had a $5 appetizer menu. And we ate some great stuff there. So that is, those are all solid.
My mom and dad's first date, Okeechobee Steakhouse.
Oh, where the magic happened.
That's yep. Right.
All solid. Let me see. Somebody said Beauty and the Beef at the Mall in Wellington Green is awesome. Tucker Dukes has great brunch. Yep. And yep. Let me see here. What else did people throw out? There's a couple good ones. Whale's Rib, Deerfield Beach. I was there not too long ago, I think a little bit pre-pandemic. That's fun. They have oysters and all that kind of stuff you can get there. Martin's in Key West is amazing. Megan said, I don't think I've ever done Martin's.
Gosh, you're making me want to fuck up some food, man.
Yeah. There's some good stuff
did
here.
Did you give us all your answers?
No. I guess Kevin forgot about me.
Oh, I'm going to get to you. I'm just kind of throwing out some because the chat is going crazy right now. So I want to, before I lose them, they never read my comments. Let me see. Sailfish Marina.
That's a good date place.
Yeah, and they have a buffet on Sundays, I think.
Do they still do that art thing at Sailfish Marina on Thursdays where you could take a date?
Sunset Celebration.
That was such a great date place.
That was cool. I don't know if COVID got that going on.
Again, when I speak of these things, obviously this is pre-pandems and post-pandems.
Well, no one knows when post is going to happen.
Boom.
Yeah. We may never get out again.
Reality.
Now we're going to be all right.
Megan, of course, you're out. Guanabana's great call. Don't forget about that.
I love the atmosphere there.
The atmosphere is good. And actually, the food.
The food's good.
I remember the last time I was there, I was like, you know what? The food is, there you go. Give it some credit. I remember to make that mental note. Anything else, Virginia, that you would throw out?
I love Japanese. I love sushi. I love real deal, authentic. So for me, the best place I've found is Ebisu. I've taken you there, Jay Bird. I've taken Denny's there.
Is that the place where we drank a bunch of sake, got too loud, and everyone was looking at our table?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, we were.
That describes every Asian restaurant I go to.
No, but this restaurant, for whatever reason, like the music was down or something, and Virginia's voice was up, and so was my.
They're the real deal. Like, they're from Japan. They're awesome. The chef not only does like amazing sushi, but he also does fish art where he puts like ink on the fish and puts it on canvas. And then you can buy like the fish art that it's actually the imprint of the fish. I'm a big fan.
Jonathan, would I like that for pizza art? Yeah, I think I do. All right, I'm in.
Ebisu is the name of it off of PGA. And then for dinner, I'm going Evo in Tequesta. I'm a Tequesta girl. I think Evo is one of the best restaurants around. It's upscale Italian. It is delicious, and I love their drinks. I love their wine list.
Okay.
I love the fact that they have outdoor dining right now, which is very COVID friendly.
So you asked, the assignment was fancy as fuck restaurants, Kevin?
No, it was just basically what would be your three breakfast, lunch, dinner, and what would you get there? That's what the question was.
I think I understood the assignment.
Yes, we are so opposite.
Okay. All right, well, a great question and something to think about. It'd be nice to be able to get out and actually do it.
That was a thinker. I love that question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a quick shout out here, Crystal from Jacksonville. She said, I am the one with the deployed husband. Don't know if you remember. Virginia did say to check in, and well, it's a nice way to send him some smiles his way. We're 3 months down of deployment, although I can't say how much longer we have. I can say it will be sometime in 2021. They have made port stops in Spain and Greece, but because of COVID, they couldn't leave the base. Ew. But it's checked off his list of places he's seen while in Greece. He was able to download some KBJ podcasts. Very cool. He's excited about that, so he's been listening, keeping up with what's going on. Can y'all send him a hello, safe travels, and come home safe? Go Navy. Absolutely.
What's his name?
And there he is. Big old stud right there.
Aww. Give him a chant.
Yeah.
What's it say on his shirt? It says his name right there.
It says McKnight.
Okay.
McKnight.
McKnight,
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 McKnight. That's cool.
USA. What?
USA. Nothing but love and respect for what you're doing there.
Amen.
That's awesome. I hope he gets to hear that.
Me too.
Hope so too. So there you go. Thanks for everything you do. All righty, y'all. That's going to do it for us today. Thank you for all those emails. You can keep them coming. Mail at kbjshow.com. M-A-I-L at kbjshow.com. Enjoy your Tuesday. We will see you later. Goodbye.